Let's get the old trusty stopwatch going. I'm Phil Parr, as you probably knew, staff announcer, and we have what I think is going to be a really interesting show. I haven't talked to this fellow a long time, but he seems to be very with it and handling his blindness very well. And besides that, he's a friend of Tim Cummings. I mean, what better recommendation could a guy have than being a personal friend of Tim Cummings? Yeah, I mean, it just doesn't get any better than that. Christer Ekstrom, welcome to Blind Like Me, sir.
Thank you, sir.
What a nice voice you have, and what a good microphone you have, and you must have some pretty good equipment there in your little studio.
We can talk about my equipment later. It's an interesting project, really.
It is.
Interesting equipment. This is a half decent, it's the best I have, microphone from Sony. EC something 907, I think
it's a condenser?
Way overkill. Yeah, it's an electric condenser.
Phantom power, or uses, what does it use, a battery or what?
Yeah, it's using a battery, and it's supposed to be using plug-in power as well, but I don't know.
So you think it's overkill for Skype, huh?
Yeah, it's way overkill for computers.
Well, man.
I mean, this is a stereo mic, and I'm just doing mono now. So
it really sounds good. Now, as you mentioned a minute ago, you are totally blind.
Yep.
Did you begin life that way?
Yes, I'm born blind. Yes.
And, yeah, I think you said you're in mid-40s, didn't you tell me?
Yes, I'm born September 1963.
Yeah.
So I'm 44.
That would be right. I was just figuring it out in my head. I guess you'd know how old you were. September 1963, you were born blind. Do they know why? Do they know what caused your blindness?
No, nothing that I know about. I know what the disease is called, at least. It's an optical nerve atrophy. Why it came to be like this, I don't know.
Why it happened, you don't know. Do you have brothers? Do you have siblings? Do you have brothers and sisters?
I have two sisters still alive. I had three, but one's dead now.
And they are both normally sighted, I guess.
Yes. Yes, they are.
So you were the only blind one. All right. As a youngster, they obviously at some when you were 6 years old, I guess. By the way, did we mention that you're not in America, that you're in Sweden? Did we mention that?
No, I don't think we did. No,
I don't think we did. So through the miracle of Skype, we are traveling to Sweden today, and we want to talk a little bit about your country in just a few minutes. What sort of education do they offer for blind people in Sweden?
Well, nowadays, if we talk nowadays, everyone's going integrated. So we're in sighted schools. But we have some resources. I can't go into them in detail because I don't quite know so much about them as I should be knowing, in fact. But we're all integrated into the normal schools. Now, when I grew up, we went to a special school for blind people.
Okay, what was that like? Tell us about the blind school in Sweden.
Well, it was a it was in the capital of Sweden, Stockholm. This school was, and it took care of blind people from all over the country. So it was a what do you call it, where people sleep to.
Yeah. It was a boarding school.
Yeah.
Yeah, it would be called a boarding school. And,
yeah.
And so you stayed there in a dormitory?
Yes, we had dormitories. But later on, it became small houses where we were supposed to live like a family, mixed both younger and older.
Uh-huh.
And it became rather much more liberal and in a way, tolerable. The boarding school, it was a big building where we had the school classes and we had the food and dormitories and everything. And we were about 3 to 6 kids on each room.
Uh-huh.
So could be a little stressy at times, but well.
You said that it became tolerable, which would mean to me that at one time it was almost intolerable. Was that what you meant?
You could say so. Yes, of course. When you're young like that and you come to a big building, it's kind of scary, and so on. So.
Yeah. So that was your first time away from home, I guess?
No, it wasn't. Actually, it wasn't. We had a kindergarten kind of thing called Gärdahemmet in a place called Norrköping, or Strax, a little bit outside the town of Norrköping. Uh-huh. And this was a school driven by some Christian organization.
Okay.
Where blind people from all over the country came.
Okay.
To sort of go in kindergarten. And we were there for several months, half a year, so on.
And they began at that time teaching you some Braille skills or mobility skills or what in kindergarten thing?
No, that came when we went to Stockholm.
All right.
It was more the kindergarten stuff. I mean, playing around and so on,
uh-huh.
Going out and so on and so forth.
But you did at that kindergarten. You got to meet and find some other blind children.
Yeah, it was mostly blind people there, or uh-huh. Should I say, all blind people there. Uh-huh. And many of those who went to these kindergartens later came to Tomteboda, the special school for the blind as well.
Uh-huh. And so these were friends that you made in kindergarten, and they went to school with you. Now, do you have, in Sweden, do you have grades like we do, 1st through 12, or how do they do that?
I'm not so I don't know how to explain it. That's lack of vocabulary. Yeah, sort of. We have grades, but we call it class.
Uh-huh.
In Swedish. 1st to 9th in the normal schools. But
uh-huh.
On Tomteboda, it was 1st to 10th.
Okay.
I don't know why we went. I don't know why we went to school an extra year, but
but
that's
the
way
they moved you along each year. In other words, you would complete some work, and then you would move to another level, or move to another grade,
yeah.
Or move up in in a room. And you say as you were there, it became more liberal, or they began to sort of relax the strict the strictness of the school the longer you were there.
Yeah. When the small houses came, it went less institutionalized,
uh-huh.
In a way. I mean, we had this big building, and it was an institution, and well. It got less strict and more home-like on the in the small houses when they came.
Well, yeah.
I, of course, got older and was allowed to do more things than when I was.
Oh yeah,
small.
As you get older. But did you think of this blind school as a good positive? Did you think you got a good education there?
Well, seeing it from a distance, some things were very good. I mean, the musical education I got there was fantastic. I think that my love for singing in harmony came from there.
Yeah.
And, we were taught mobility and such things, and that made me kind of independent and so on. And I'm very thankful for that.
Sure.
Some aspects of the school wasn't good. I mean, when you're well, not locked in, but anyway, when you're just with blind people and so on, you tend to, shall we say, forget to learn the social codes that are outside.
Right.
And that can have a negative effect on us.
Well, yes, it can.
When we later come out into society, some I think never quite rehabilitate. I think I've managed quite good. I'm far from perfect, but I managed quite good anyway.
Well, you're right. If you're only around blind people, then you don't. For instance, it's really funny. I think we've talked about this before. My wife taught me, you know, you hear about waving goodbye. You wave at somebody. Wave goodbye. Well, how do you wave? How the hell do you do that? And so she taught me how to wave, and we're still, no, that's not quite right. So, you know, I'd never seen anybody do that, so I didn't know how to do it. And the same thing would apply if you're only around blind people. You're only going to kind of do blind things. But did you graduate from this school? At the end of the 10th grade?
Yes, sort of. I went kind of tired of school around 8th class or 8th grade.
Uh-huh.
And then I didn't do so much work. I was very naughty or something. And I called myself a rebel, but I don't know. And, I graduated, but I had to sort of work my way up to the what we call primary school level here.
Okay.
And so I don't have any more education than primary school education. I thought I was going to the gymnasium or what you call it, but I selected away too many subjects.
In other words, you didn't get any higher education after the blind school. You didn't go on to what we would call college. Now, let me just ask you this. We'll get away from this blind school thing in a minute. What's here in the States, they teach us, or they taught when I went to the blind school, blind children to tune pianos and to cane chairs and to make brooms and mops. And, of course, we had an extensive music department, as did your blind school. What sorts of things did they try to teach blind people that they thought might be able to make a living? In other words, get out in the world and earn some money with. What sorts of things?
Well, when I was there, it was in the 70s, so things were kind of changing. So I don't know really what was the big thing, but they tried to teach us to make baskets. I think that some people made brooms or brushes or something, although I can't be sure that this education really was going on. But the typical, as I say, blind jobs around that time, before computers and so on, it was operators on switchboards and sound engineers. That was the typical way to go. Or basket makers or such things in years before.
What is that? That is your Skype, someone
that's
trying
my...
to... Is that someone at your door?
Nope. That's my little clock.
Oh, man.
A little table clock.
I like that.
A mechanical chime clock.
Yes, I like that. It sounds... That's nice. That's very pleasant.
Yeah.
So what did you think you could do? You were about 18 or 19 years old, I guess, and you had gotten out of school. You, of course, you wanted to be a sound engineer, I suppose.
Yes. That was... I've always been fascinated by sound. And sounds. I've terrorized many people by dragging around my big tape recorder, recording everything that came in sight, and having teachers starting machines in the where you made metal things and wood things and so on and so forth and. And that was interesting. And just a little while back, I kind of reflected over this and thought back and said that, hey, isn't it fantastic? When I went to Tomteboda, the blind school, I carried this huge tape recorder around. And in the beginning, there were only manual microphones. I mean, automatic microphones. It didn't exist.
Yeah.
So when you got automatic microphones, it was one thing less to carry around.
Yeah.
But the things were big, and as time went on, the tape recorders got increasingly smaller, or decreasingly, should I say?
Yeah.
And nowadays, you have this little device with an inbuilt automatic mic that you can put in your pocket, and when you try to record with it, it makes excellent, and I mean excellent recordings.
Uh-huh.
Without anything else, but just a little device.
It's amazing, isn't it? Where did our phone come? Okay, so you got out of school, you went back home. What did you do? Did they have some sort of an adult program for blind people to try to place them in jobs, and did they try to help you?
Well, at first I went to a sort of school to translate it very, very, very roughly, you could say people's high school, but that's to translate it very roughly. It's for people who haven't gone into the gymnasium for some reasons, stopped studying, and perhaps want to do that as adults, grown-ups, and so on and so forth. And I was there for 3 years.
Uh-huh.
And then I came to a program that could train me in rehabilitation, basic rehabilitation, and its aim was to find me a job.
Yeah. I think we would call that a vocational school here or something like that. So, what jobs did they find you? What job did you find? What did you end up doing to earn yourself a buck or two?
Well, after being unemployed for a couple of years, I moved from my hometown, which is called Ludvika, and it's quite far up north in Sweden, to Skåne, where I live now, which is a province in the very south, partly to go to this rehabilitation course thingy, and partly because my friends lived here. And after this rehabilitation school thingy, I was unemployed for about 2 years, and then I got me a job on a local community radio station. So I I ended up as a sound engineer just as I wanted.
Ah, yeah. A local radio station. Radio in Sweden, is it all government-owned or is it local-owned? We said locally-owned.
At that time, the big public service radio network was government or owned by the state.
Uh-huh.
And in 1979, they made a decision in the parliament that organizations were allowed to start their own community radios. And, of course, there were many organizations that in the first year, that started up just because they wanted to transmit radio. And they wanted to do the American-style radio.
Uh-huh.
Because at that time, the Swedish radio was very formal. Or I used to call it costume radio.
Oh.
It was very formal and so on and so forth. So there were many people who wanted to sort of do the American radio style with people calling in and music and jingles and, you know. And I was absolutely fascinated by that type of radio since I haven't heard that before. And I wanted to do something like that myself. And I had my own program. I had my own show.
Really?
Actually, at the community radio, sponsored by a trade union.
Really?
Yeah.
What did you do on the show? What did you do? Play music?
Oh, I was a typical DJ, talking loud and fast and playing records, hit records, and cool jingles and so on and so forth. I did what I always wanted to do.
Yeah. And well, somebody paid you to do it.
Yeah. That was cool.
Oh, I know the feeling. I know the feeling. So the government-operated radio was rather, I think we would call it rather stodgy, like, you're listening to the BBC, you know, that kind of thing, right?
Yeah, that was the typical, you were not allowed to do something wrong. I mean, if record got stuck in that radio, it was like, oh my God, something has happened, something terrible has happened.
Yes, I know. Yeah, you wanted to do freeform radio or radio like we do in America, where the disc jockey is having a good time and relating to the audience, and you wanted just kind of freeform radio. Yeah. And so you found someone to sponsor you, or how'd you do that?
Yeah, luckily the way, the decision way, or how you say it, in this station, I mean, the way from my idea to full production was very short. I talked to my nearest boss and got the okay, and off I went. And he found me a organization that I could transmit for. And I did a couple of shows there, actually. I did the Radio 2000, the disc jockey show, DJ show. Uh-huh. And then I did another show, which was called The Point of View, which was a blindness-related show.
Okay.
Where I went and interviewed people who had guide dogs and people sold assistive technology and so on and so forth. And that was also an interesting experience. So it was very short way from idea to decision. And that was cool. But there were other things there that I didn't quite like, so I got kind of burned out.
Were you operating the equipment? Did you run the board? Did you operate the equipment, your hands, yourself?
Definitely I did. And we were one of the few radio stations, if not the only one. I can't say for sure if we were the only ones, but we were one of the few radio stations that had announcements between the different organizations, programs, rather like in the Swedish radio. So we could say that was that organization that sent transmitted, and it's now about 7 p.m. and it's time for this one. And that was me. That was the engineer's job. We had a microphone above the mixer, and we ran the board.
But the engineer did the announcements.
Yeah.
But were you introducing music? I guess by this time, were we playing CDs by this time, or are we still with the records or what?
We were still with the records.
Oh, man.
In the beginning.
With big old turntables.
I think we got our first CDs around 1990 or 91 or something like that.
But you were still playing phonograph records on turntables.
Oh, yes. In the early days.
Interesting days. Well, that's good. Now, did you have what we call, do you know what a cart machine is? Cartridge machine that you...
No, we didn't have cart machines. We had cassette decks to do the jingles.
Okay.
So, at first it was consumer machines, so they were slow. And I mean slow.
Yeah.
It had to rattle a while before the cassette started to run and so on and so forth. But we managed to handle that. Later on, we got better equipment and better cassette machines and so on, but it still was cassette machines that did the jingles.
Yeah, and the cassette machine doesn't stop itself. You've got to stop it and re-cue it.
Yep.
So you're fighting, you're running the board in a situation like that. I've done it. It's a difficult thing to do.
I think that we had fader start on one or two of the later cassette machines. I can't remember quite, but I think so. Yes, we had fader start on them.
Yeah, now, I don't understand what that is. So you had to fade it by hand, or it would fade itself?
No, it started when you lifted the fader.
Okay. Oh, okay. When you pull the fader up, the cassette machine started.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And when you put it down, it stopped.
Well, that'd be nice. That would be nice. That would help a lot. Okay, so this is a community radio station, and they actually paid you a salary for doing what you did.
That's right.
Well, good. But you became disillusioned with that. You decided you didn't like that.
Yeah,
you didn't.
I got tired because there were people who treated me not so nicely.
Yeah.
It's often like that. I don't know if you can relate to what I'm saying, but if people come in who are sighted, they automatically become bosses, and the only qualification for becoming bosses is their eyes. So that was often what happened, and we had one nasty boss who got replaced with another, and it wasn't only me, it was many who got frustrated at the situation out there.
Were you the only blind person there?
No, we were two. We were two who worked shifts.
So there was another blind person there.
Yeah.
And now, did he or she leave? Did they leave too when you left?
Yeah, they did. Although I was the first in and the last out.
Well, sometimes you get a little jealousy factor there with sighted people who maybe you're doing something they'd like to do and they think they could do it better than you could because they can see. That has happened to me also.
I'm sort of got burnt out because I didn't. Well, so.
So you left the radio station.
Yeah, I left the radio. And fortunately then, I could use my second interest, because now computers had made its entrance into the blind community. And by chance because of people I knew who worked on the radio, They had Macintosh computers on the radio, and it was said that those weren't accessible. We could forget them as blind people.
Oh.
Now, as it happened, we stumbled across an ad in a newspaper for a program called Outspoken. I don't know how it came to pass that we took it home and so on and so forth, but I talked to the guy on the rehabilitation place where I had been earlier, and he said that, well, Outspoken, it's overrated, it's bad, it's useless crap.
Yeah.
And I said, well, I want to try it. I want to try to see see what it looks like, because according to the newspaper ad I read, it was like a screen reader, so I want to try it.
Uh-huh.
Well, you can do that, he said, but don't be too optimistic about it.
Uh-huh.
Well, we got to borrow a copy, or how we did, I don't know really how we did. I think we borrowed a copy that had been laying around in the table box for
uh-huh.
however long there at the rehabilitation place. And we put it in the Mac, and we started it up, and it spoke to me. And I discovered that I could do almost everything that the other people could do on the computer.
Yeah.
So I haven't gone into computers through the DOS route. I went the graphical route. Already from the start.
Yeah. And this was a thrill. I mean, this was something really
yeah.
wonderful for you when you realized yeah. that you... Why did these people think that this Outspoken program wouldn't work? Why were they so negative about it? Do you know?
They hadn't even tested it. They thought that, okay, this... I don't really know why they thought about it that way. But it I asked them, and they say that, well, I haven't thoroughly tested it. I haven't thoroughly tried it, so I don't know what it can do, really.
Yeah. These were sighted people?
Yeah.
They hadn't tested it, but you took it home.
I took it home. I read the manuals, and I remember I went to the radio with a little Eureka. I don't know if you know those Eureka A4, it's a small computer-like thingy, note-taker,
uh-huh.
should we say, in these days.
Yeah.
With a very monotone voice.
Yes.
And
yes, I do.
I mean, I'm... remember going to the radio with this one, scanning the manual and saved the text so that I can take it home with me and read. On this Eureka machine.
Uh-huh.
And so I knew all about the program before I even installed it.
Okay, and this was on a Mac.
Yeah.
And you realized, I can now operate a computer. The world has certainly opened up for me.
It had surely.
Oh man, what a thing! What a thrill!
Yeah, it was a thrill, and I think I was one of the few in Sweden who actually did operate a Mac. And I remember, if I may talk about that, I remember me
yeah.
going up to a demonstration for Apple people and so on their main offices in Stockholm. We were demonstrating what disabled people could do with a Mac. And I was doing a demo on Outspoken and so on and so forth. And this program handled drag and drop exceptionally well.
Okay.
I have never seen a program that could do drag and drop so well as well as the Outspoken program could do. And I remember I showed people how to, well, I got a file here, and now I don't want this file, so I do like this, and I drag it to the trash can, and I drop it there, and poof, it's gone. And I heard someone in the audience, in the crowd, say, he's not supposed to be able to do that. That was a thrill.
I imagine it was. And so this, let me see if I put this correctly. This sort of offset the heartbreak you had just encountered by losing your radio job. Am I correct?
In a way. I wanted to leave that station.
Yeah.
And I would have done so even if I hadn't got a job.
But then you discovered computers, and so
yeah.
The whole world changed. What, do you remember what year this was? When was this?
It must have been around 1994.
Okay.
Yeah, because I stopped working at the radio 1st of April 1994.
Yep.
And then I began working, and by then the internet had started to arrive.
Yes, it had.
And it was a great thing. And imagine the sensation when you could dial up a number and suddenly you had the world at your fingertips.
I mean,
just because I could do it, I often downloaded files from Japan.
Just because you could.
Yeah, I'd worked with Fidonet in the past, which was I don't know if you know Fidonet.
I do not.
But, yeah, it was a worldwide network of computers, but they relied on, you couldn't go directly to a computer in the U.S., or you could, but you had to call that computer machine
up.
Uh-huh. So if you wanted to send mails, you had to send it to your local hub, who sent it upwards in the network, to his hub, who sent it upwards, and so on and so on. So a mail from Sweden to Germany took 1 week. Imagine that in these days.
That seems so primitive these days. When we're sitting here talking thousands of miles apart, and it sounds like you are sitting by my side in my little room here. You would never know that you're not here. That seems so primitive. Were you able to find a job with your computer skills or not?
Yes. That was the fortunate thing because I was. Because I could operate the Mac, a opportunity opened up itself. It was said, the object or the meaning was that I was going to introduce Outspoken to the Swedish community. Unfortunately, though, that program built on the built-in speech of the Apple Mac, which was called Apple Talk or something like that.
Uh-huh.
No, Apple Talk. Was it that? Macintalk, was it?
I don't know. I never had a Mac. I have no idea.
Apple Talk was the network. Macintalk, it was called.
Macintalk.
Yeah.
All right.
And it wasn't until OS 8 or 9 came around that you actually could use external speech synthesizers. And by that time, well, Alva had bought Berkeley Systems that made the Mac, and the tasks on the job were dwindling, so to speak.
Okay, so what? What speech program do you use now?
Now I'm on a PC with HAL, and I'm testing different speech programs now, HAL and Window Eyes and JAWS and so on.
I was going to ask you if you knew about JAWS.
I think I'm going to go back to JAWS because sadly, or how you say it, the development tends to go to. When you say that things are accessible, it's accessible to JAWS users.
Yeah.
So I have to roll with the times.
Well, I don't know. There are people who, there are people like Tim swears by WindowEyes. He thinks WindowEyes is a better program. I think it's what a person is used to. I think WindowEyes and JAWS are both good programs. And of course, Don has a little. My friend Don Shaw has a new one that's made by this guy that does Freedom Box. I can't remember what it is.
And Nexus.
He likes that a lot, and it's about half of the price of JAWS.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I want to talk, before we get out of time here, I want to talk a little about your country. You are bothered by your English, and you think you don't speak good English. You really do. And let me reassure you, Krister, that your English is quite good. What is the native language spoken in Sweden? Just the Swedish language?
It's Swedish, yes.
And that is how you communicate with other people there. You don't speak English normally.
Nope.
English is a second language.
Yeah.
How did you learn English?
Well, I've always been a rock fan. So I grew up with rock and roll and so on. And I, of course, I wanted to sound like those people on the records. So in class three in school, we started to learn English, and well, that's the way it's been.
And you started learning English in school.
Yeah.
Well, you do it quite well. Now, tell me a little bit about your country, the government of your country. What form of government is it? But you mentioned Parliament a while ago. I guess it is.
A question of bad vocabulary. Because.
I've lost you. Who was that? You almost got off mic there.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I said that we. Now we come into the question of bad vocabulary again. Because.
It's a parliamentary form of government, is it not?
There are seven parties from left to right. And we have elections every 4 years.
Okay.
And, well, there are seven parties now, but I think there's going to be more.
Okay.
In the future. And, as I said, we have elections every 4 years where we go to vote for our... We don't. It's not so much person voting here.
Uh-huh.
We don't vote on persons. We vote for parties. Although you could vote for persons, too.
Okay.
But it's the parties that's kind of the most important thing.
I was good friends with a lady who was raised in Sweden. She seemed to think that in some ways Sweden is a freer society than is the United States. Are you pretty well free to do as you please in your country?
Yes, I think so. Of course, you can't do things that offend
others,
and
yeah.
so on and so forth.
But you can own land, you can own property, you can own a business, you can have a car, you can raise your family. You pay income tax. You have income tax there.
Yes, a very high income tax. So people say.
Now, Sweden is a country that has. You have. At different times of the year, you have long. I mean, you're kind of like Alaska in that you have days that sunshine that goes on for many days. The sun never goes down for many days, right? Am I right?
That's the northern part of Sweden.
Okay,
that's in the northern part,
but not where you are.
Yeah. Nope, not in Malmo.
But you live there. You lived where that happened.
No.
You never lived up north?
No, it was even further north than I lived. Because
I've often
most northern parts of Sweden, about as far up north as you can come.
Okay, do you? But you have normal 24-hour day cycles, like just like we do.
Yes. Yes.
Sun comes up in the morning and stays up all day and goes down in the evening, and then it gets dark. Because I've always wondered how, of course, blind people are famous for, or not famous for, but all of us do it that I know anything about, get their nights and days confused. Why I don't know, but I do it all the time. About once a month, I'll find myself sleeping most of the day and staying up all night. And I think most totally blind people do that. And I've often wondered...
That hasn't been a problem for me, actually.
Is that right? That's good.
Yeah. No, that hasn't been a problem for me. I don't know why, but no, it hasn't been a problem for me, actually. I can be out very late at night, but that's another story. But no, I haven't.
That's not happened to you. You haven't gotten you. You don't get your nights and days.
No, I haven't been my nights and days confused. No.
Well, most. But I don't know. You're the exception. There's lots of blind people do. Now, I think we haven't touched on your music. Do you? What instruments? Do you play instruments, or do you just sing?
No, I'm playing instruments too. I do. Well, I do play most instruments, actually, both guitar and bass and drums a little bit, and keyboards and so on and so forth. I figured out that if I couldn't get a backup band when I wanted to, well, I better do it myself. So I did.
Yeah. And so you play some keyboard. What is your main instrument? Guitar?
Guitar, yes.
Guitar, do you finger pick or flat pick, or do you do both?
Both, in fact. I'm a bit of both.
And you are a rock and roller?
Yeah, definitely.
And what would be some of your favorite rock people? Are you you're not old enough to be a Beatles guy, are you?
Yes, 60s, 70s. Right now, I'm into progressive rock. That's the big symphonic things like Genesis. Or there's a good band from Holland called Kayak, or how you pronounce it. And so on. And I mostly dig the people who can make good craftsmanship. I mean, as I said in an unfinished hip hop song that I did when I was into rapping, I said that the music nowadays has become like junk food. Everything's good as long as it can be danced to.
Uh-huh.
I tend to think that it's as long as it has something to say, it's great. And as long as it's craftsmanship, you can hear the people playing. It shall not sound machine-like or something. I don't know if you catch the meaning.
So what I would consider what you do probably heavy metal, right? Wouldn't I?
Yes, that has happened too.
You like those big loud chords and distortion pedals and things like that?
Yeah. But that's could be cool. Yeah. there's so much music that I like. I'm kind of broad. I mean, I could listen to heavy or pop, more mellow things, and so on and so forth. And as I said, the progressive style.
All right. So, do you get a chance to play music for money ever, Kenny, over there?
Not in a while. Not in a while. I have done gigs for money, but not in a while.
Not in a while. Because you don't want to, or because there aren't any, or why?
Well, it's mostly because I have so much other things to do, working with computers and so on. So I haven't searched for people to play with and so on.
Okay, so you're not trying to play anymore as a make a living playing.
No, not right now. I can't say that it won't happen, but not right now.
What do you do with computers? Are you a computer teacher, or what do you do with computers nowadays?
No, I'm well, I don't know what you call it when you retire before you should, but
yeah,
that's what I've done. I call it pre-retired
that's good.
For lack of a better word.
That's good. That's a good word.
But what I'm doing with computers is I do much audio. I've been much into podcasting lately, which is fun, because then I get to be out on the streets and out in the field with my portable audio equipment, and then I go home and fix it up in the computer and send it away to people. And
well, what sort of portable audio equipment do you have?
Well, I have an Eddyroll R9 and a Zoom H2. And for microphones, I use the built-in mics of the Zoom now, or I plan to use it. Or when I want to go out and do field recordings for podcasts or something, I will use my Sound Professionals Innovative Specialists ear-mounted microphones. They're very, very good, I think. I've never heard a better sound from a pair of binaural mics.
Yeah.
So I'm very much into binaural recordings. I've always, or for very long at least, done binaural recordings, and I thought it was cool.
Now the mics, the built-in mics on the Zoom are actually quite good, I thought.
Yeah, I'm getting impressed by those every time I use them. I found out now, I've documented all the menus now, and so I can get to the features I want to get to. And I found out that there was a feature called 3D panning, which means that you could adjust the balance between the mic pairs, and also the balance and what channel the sound should be in. And when you did that, you got a very, very deep stereo picture. I was very impressed by the depth of the picture that you got from those built-in mics.
Now, is it as good as the binaural mics?
I don't quite know, because I haven't experimented too much with that. I can't say for sure, but it comes very close. I'd say it comes very close.
So you have the Zoom that has the four microphones in it.
Yeah,
built-in
mics.
The
H2,
yeah,
small one.
Okay. My friend Don Shaw has that same, and I found that those I haven't tried the stereo, this pairing stuff that you're talking about. We just use the little two built-in mics, and I found them, I thought they sounded good for a pair of obviously, you know, their condenser, I guess, but thought they were pretty good.
They are actually very, very good. I'm impressed with them, and I mean I have played a lot with the internal mics on the Eddyroll also. That's Swedish for also.
Well, I have the Eddyroll 1, so my internal mics are okay, but nothing to brag about.
Okay, I've got the
you have the 9
after the 9. Yes.
The 9. Yeah. So you
and,
have a.
It's noisy, but it works quite okay. I was out recording a steam engine this summer, and I did it just with internal mics because my microphone jack on the Eddyroll broke.
Oh,
so I had to make do with what I had, and that was the internal mics. And I must say, I got quite impressed with the way they picked up sound.
Now, are you going to put that up on Blind Cool Tech or what?
No, because it's in Swedish, so I don't.
Oh, it
think
is.
That it would be. It would be right. I don't think that it would be.
But you do have some things that are up on Blind Cool Tech, some podcasts you've done.
Yes. I've had a couple of them. I have a cooking show called Cooking Is Not Boring.
Yeah.
And I have one show that I got very much credits for. Very much positive credits for, and it's called Walk to Chinese Place. That's interesting that people like that one.
And they're both up. They're both at Blind. You can hear them both. Blind Cool Tech, right?
Yeah. Yes.
All right. I've got to tell you, we've killed an hour, sir.
Wow.
It's gone by pretty fast. I don't know when I'll run this show, but I'll be back to you and let you know. Our guest has been Christer Ekström from Sweden. You named the town a while ago. Name it again, that town that you live in.
Malmö.
Malmö, Sweden.
Malmö.
Well, thank you, sir. I've enjoyed visiting with you, and look forward maybe to meeting you and shaking your hand someday. And thank you for appearing on our show called Blind Like Me. Christer Ekström is his name. What am I
talking about? R12 MP3.
Let's see. Listen to the blinds. Listen to the speed. Board speed. All right, let's see. We need guests. Always need guests. You can contact me, Phil Parr, at Consolidated, CONSOLIDATD.net. That will get you through. My Skype name is Phil Parr 5. And on Skype, of course, you can use that if you like. Or you could call me, 936-634-9500 would be my phone number. If you choose to do things that way, you can call me. And I'm up here most of the time. Anyway, thanks for listening, and come and be a guest on our show. Don't be bashful. We won't ask you any questions you don't know the answer to. I guarantee you that. My wife taught me that trick. Thanks again. We'll do it next week. Christmas vacation is about on us. We got one more live show to do, then we'll be in reruns. But anyway, come be a guest on our show. Thank you much. We'll see you next week. Bye-bye.